This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He's going to go back to Baltimore. He's going to continue to get evaluated. So that's kind of all we know right now. He had some lat discomfort warming up prior to the game, 10 minutes before the game in Suarez. Then we rushed him down to the bullpen to start the game. So we're hoping everything works out okay. You know, he had a little bit of shoulder soreness early in the year, gave some time off. He's been feeling fine through a really good bullpen in Cleveland. Just kind of came up tonight while he's warming up.
That was manager Brandon Hyde following the Orioles season or series opening loss to the Blue Jays last night. And news that, I mean, I got an alert right when I was done BBT with Jim Hunter yesterday, Jason, saying that Grayson Rodriguez scratched from his start. I was like, what the heck just happened? And Masson was able to capture a moment of him with pitching coach Drew French where you could read the lips of him saying, "I don't feel right." Then there was a lot of speculation. Could it be an illness? Was that why he was pulled? But then we heard from the skipper, a right lat discomfort. And remember, going back to the 2022 season, mm-hmm. when we thought that Grayson Rodriguez was on the verge of making his MLB debut, he suffered a lat injury then, and he was on the shelf for 3 months. He didn't return till September.
Yeah, now that was a grade two situation there, and we're talking about, you know, muscles, clusters of muscles in your upper back. So I guess, you know, good news is it's not an elbow. It's not a tricep. It's not a shoulder, rotator cuff. But that doesn't mean it still can't be a substantial absence. The images that Masson captured, clearly he was concerned. He was sort of on heightened alert. And, you know, thankfully, he went to them as soon as things started feeling off and notified them, and they obviously took corrective measures. The last time he suffered this injury, I was watching the game on MILB TV, and he had just struck a guy out, and I think it was a fly out, and in real time, you didn't notice anything, and then they went back and replayed him walking off the mound to the dugout. And he seemed, you know, he was kind of like shaking things out, and he didn't look totally normal. But it's not like one of those situations where a guy grabbed his arm or grabbed an area and was lurching off, you know, with a trainer. It wasn't like that. And again, it turned out to be a quite substantial injury. Now, I also think they probably erred decidedly on the side of caution then, because this was still a rebuild. He was a kid who was just going to be bled into the major leagues. And the games, frankly, they never really matter in Norfolk, and the games in Baltimore at that time didn't matter either. So we'll just have to see. We're going to talk to Michael Elias, I think, in a couple hours. So that obviously will be one of the primary topics to see if we can get an update. But regardless, Bone, I tend to think he's going to miss some time here, that there'll be some sort of a reset because of how young he is, because he was a guy we highlighted last year, more real innings than he's ever thrown before, right? More at the major league level, obviously, and more high tension pennant race innings, which take a toll. It was going to be a big step up for him again this year from game one on. So I look, what Suarez did was heroic.
Phenomenal.
Like, that was unbelievable. It's a damn shame the bullpen immediately imploded and rendered it all, mute. But, or moot, kind of both. Can he do that every 5 days? Do they have to try to activate a Cade Povich again? McDermott is hurt. That's something else we're going to have to ask Mike Elias about. There aren't a ton of options. You've got a Tucker Davidson or a Bruce Zimmerman, if you're talking vets from the left side at Norfolk, who have been starting. But even missing two turns right now with the state of this pitching staff in its totality would be a very big deal.
It'd be a very big deal. And who knows? We will definitely look for some clarity when we speak to Mike Elias. Brandon Hyde will meet with the media prior to today's game like normal. But you brought up the innings, and you brought up the innings early on in the season, even before the season. He pitched 122 innings with the major league club last year, 41 and a third at Norfolk. He's at 116 and two-thirds already, and he's already had a stint on the IL earlier in the year where he missed 2.5 weeks due to right shoulder inflammation. I mean, this is still a young pitcher, 24 years old, trying to build up the innings, and that's why we kept pointing out just these type of things can happen, and lat injuries, I mean, they're so kind of difficult to navigate.
Yeah, and that's why you can never have too much pitching, and you can never buy too much pitching in any offseason when it's available, especially when it was available this year at a buyer's price. Yeah, Scott Boris. Bone, last year, he got a reset in the minors, which took some of, again, that mental and physical toll off, right? He went back to a level where he knows he could dominate. And remember, this time a year ago, they were getting John Means back, and they had the luxury of going to six men when they wanted to and backing off guys, right? And they could play that long game. They tried it this year. I don't think they ever quite got there. Remember, we were calling it the six-man-ish, but they never really got a full time through. So that's something else where that helped them nurse Grayson through last year. This year, it's been more of a sprint.
And we'll keep you up to date if any roster moves do happen between now and 6. But we have a jam-packed show today. Ken Wyman, he is out at one winning drive. It seems like more of a lighter practice today after a very physical practice that you attended yesterday.
This is much more GG style.
Yes.
You know, no humidity, gentle breeze, 75 degrees. Not in pads, filling them up with free food. I'm sure they asked him, who would you like to talk today? And that's taking nothing away. Look, I was very happy to speak to.
Well, they rolled out the red carpet.
Yes, they did, but I can't talk about it. For my purposes, you know how much I love heavy personnel in 12 and 13, and we'll talk about that today.
Get you going.
Kohler and Pat Ricard were right up my alley. But I suspect.
Charlie Kohler.
What did I say?
Kohler.
He's way not on my. Hasn't been on my. Yeah.
Maybe he's going to
be. I've been a Cole Irvin agnostic or atheist for a long time. I don't buy what he's selling. Yeah, Charlie Kohler. Anyway, I'm sure Gigi will probably get the opportunity perhaps to speak with people who might be maybe playing sexier positions.
Ken's going to be joining us at 3:15, but prior to Ken joining us, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick will come on at 3. Tim Murray, he's back, had a vacation last week. We'll get our best bets with him. Heck, we know that he's the college football savant. Week zero is going to be here before we know it, so we'll get futures with him. General manager of the Orioles scheduled to join us at 4 o'clock, Mike Elias. Governor of the state of Maryland, Wes Moore, at 5. And Tyler Wells will be joining us at 5:30.
Yeah, Tyler Wells took to Twitter last night. He was urging on Big Al. He was very impressed by what Big Al did. I mean, it was impossible not to be. It's just a shame of what came from it.
Speaking of what came from it, it was fun till it wasn't. The Orioles did take a lead in the game on their first hit of the game, Jackson Holliday going yard, but then things went awry later on. Gregory Soto went in the game, and it was ugly. And then Brandon Hyde had some very interesting pinch-hitting decisions in the eighth inning. We'll get into it next on Inside Access.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And now one that stays more fair. Headed to the bullpen. That ball is gone. Have yourself a day. Alejandro Kirk, his second hit of the day and his third home run of the season. The Blue Jays lead for the first time.
That highlight courtesy of Sportsnet. The Orioles entered the bottom of the sixth inning with a 1-0 lead. And
courtesy of Jackson Holliday.
Jackson Holliday, and that was their first hit of the ball game, where in the most baseball things, Chris Bassitt, who got absolutely shelled by the Orioles last start, and shelled in his three starts against the Orioles as a Blue Jay, he pitched great up until that point. And Birch Smith entered the game in for Albert Suarez, who was fantastic on 4 days rest, 5 shutout innings. I mean, getting that notice 15 minutes before first pitch, you could not ask for more. So Birch Smith faces the minimum 3 batters, gets 2 outs.
The one guy who gets on is Vladdy, who, if you hold Vladdy to a single, that's the same as walking him, which he should be pitching around him anyway. Who cares?
You will absolutely take that. So coming up is Spencer Horowitz, who bats left-handed. So Brandon Hyde calls to the bullpen, brings in Gregory Soto, who's supposed to be the left-handed specialist for this team right now. Horowitz singles, and then you're really in trouble because then Alejandro Kirk
from the right side.
From the right side, righties absolutely demolish Gregory Soto, and Soto just got shelled. Kirk, 391-foot home run. Barger, a couple batters later, doubled in a couple of runs there. So giving up five runs. And in three appearances, Gregory Soto, as an Oriole, has thrown an inning and a third. He has allowed nine hits, eight runs.
I despise this in real time. I told you, if he has to do anything other than face one lefty, and if you bring him in with two outs to face a lefty and he doesn't get it done, the other team will bring in a righty, and even a marginal righty with no power can crush this guy because he's frankly been a total bum against righties all year, and he's lost his job twice in Philadelphia for calls with merit. He pitched his ass way down the pecking order there, not because somebody had something against him, not because of politics, because he sucked. And he can't command to lefties, and he throws meatballs to righties. Alejandro Kirk barely hits the ball out of the infield. He tattooed that. Okay, so for the season, and again, if you're in a perfect world and all he does is face one lefty and he gets them, he can't even get them lately, maybe this would have made some sense. But righties on the season have a 441 on base, a 472 slug, a 913 OPS. Like, what are we doing in a pennant race? What are we doing? Now, I don't blame Hyder for this one because this is the hand he's been dealt. The GM got a right-hander who they only trusted in Philadelphia in the sixth inning, and a left-hander who they didn't trust at all. So he can't pitch Cino Perez every day. I never thought I'd be clamoring for Keegan Aiken to come back. If this all was a troll job, just to see if we could create an alternative universe where I'm begging and pleading for, you know, Keegan Aiken to be eligible to return from AAA, well, that's where I am. Because the Soto thing is the exact disaster I thought it would be, and you gave away Seth Johnson, whatever he's going to become, as part of it. But Hyde's got it. Like, he can't pitch Cino Perez every day. Danny Colon, we don't know when he's coming back. It is what it is. So, you got me a lefty. I'm going to bring the lefty in to face a lefty. But he can't get anybody out right now.
So, the Jays hung a five spot on the O's in the sixth inning. But, top of the eighth, Chris Bassitt was running out of steam. First three batters reached. Adley walked. Mountcastle single. Jimenez singled. So bases loaded. Nobody out. And Yenesis Cabrera comes in. Lefty. Where
wild.
Jackson Holliday was set to bat. His prior at-bat, he hit a home run over 400 feet. Brandon Hyde decided to pinch hit Austin Slater there. Now, it did not backfire. Slater worked, honestly, a professional at-bat.
Yep.
Seven-pitch at-bat, worked a walk, ended up sending a run home. Then Ramon Urias up to bat. Three pitches, one, two, three.
Thanks for coming.
He fans at that. And then, still got bases loaded. One out. You're down by three runs. Colton Cowser, who entered last night's 17-game hit streak. Brandon Hyde ends up pinch hitting Kobe Mayo, searching for his first major league hit. And that went, how you would think, struck out swinging. Anthony Santander grounded out. So let's hear what Brandon Hyde had to say after the game about those pinch hitting situations.
Austin, who's been really good against lefties this year, he worked a huge walk and then just took a shot with Mayo there with the bases loaded and it didn't work out.
And there you have it. And Slater, over his career, better against lefties this year, not so much. And Yenesis Cabrera's splits heading into last night. Left-handed batters have a higher OPS than righties do. And Colton Cowser, since July 1st, 7-for-19 against left-handed batters. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the Slater thing didn't backfire, but if you were so hell-bent of getting Kobe Mayo in there, Ramon Urias, his career against left-handed pitching is 232. 232.
And if you obviously aren't worried about in that moment losing Well, I guess he probably was worried about losing Ramon's glove. And even if we tie it up, right, do we want Kobe Mayo at third base, close and late, coming in cold in a game where, right, he's not, it's not like he took all the grounders and then went right, you know, took a shower and came right into this game.
I mean,
right?
Either way, you're putting Kobe Mayo in a very difficult
situation.
But he might,
right, I'll get to that in a minute. But I'm going to, here's what I think happened. I think he feels like he can't, like Ramon's got to play in that situation. Because if we tie this up and Kobe Mayo boots a routine ground ball and we lose this game anyway, right? I'm not gonna lose that way. So if Mayo enters, he's only gonna enter for his bat, and I'm gonna take one. Like he said, I'm gonna play that lottery ticket and see if it comes home. Now, if it does, that's just a pinch hit situation, right? I still have Ramon there. The pinch hitting for Jackson Holliday, even though I guess you could say it quote unquote worked, that's what pisses me off. Did this kid not hit a grand slam off that team in Baltimore 5 days ago?
He's been the hottest hitter.
Has he had their most professional at bats? Yeah. Has he looked fine against lefties? Like, aren't we trying to re-empower him? Like, now I do think something might have been going on with Kowser. And you could have just saved Slater for Kowser. Because I do think Kowser's last at bat, he was grabbing his hand. Like, he didn't look right to me. And I'm wondering, and we'll ask Mike Elias, I guess, at 4 o'clock. Maybe I was seeing things, but I'm wondering if something was a little off with Kowser, so they were going to do that no matter what. In which case you could have saved Slater for him. But I think he would have been very fearful of Kobe Mayo in a dome, right? Which he has no familiarity with. There are no domes in International League. Like, so that's what I think the Ramon thing was about. I'm not defending it, but And putting Mayo into that situation.
That's what I'm saying.
Come on, man. Like, the guy who looks like he can handle it, Jackson Holliday, we strip him of the opportunity. And we foist it upon a kid who looks like Jackson Holliday the first 10 games this year just trying to figure things out. Now, I would say, in Hyder's defense, what are his other options from the right side? They traded Austin Hayes for a middling reliever. Like, they replaced him with Eloy. Eloy was already in the lineup. Eloy's already DHing. Like, Eloy's hitting a lot of ground balls that are going through. I'm not sure that's going to continue to be the case, but it's the case for now. But, like, what's he going to do? Bring in McCann?
No.
Who just had another procedure on his nose? Like,
Orioles fall to the Blue Jays in game one of a 3-game series, 5-2. We're going to get back into the O's top of the hour. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, will get his thoughts on the pinch hitting situation, the Gregory Soto situation of it all. But coming up next, we're going to switch gears. John Harbaugh gave updates on multiple injured Ravens. Some of them didn't sound too great, but there is some positive injury news, and we'll tell you that on the other side. It's Inside Access on the Fan.
Arthur's been dealing with a knee issue. We'll see. It's not going to be, you know, anything season ending, but we're looking at it right now. We got to figure out what it is.
That was Coach John Harbaugh after yesterday's practice, which you attended, Jason, and Ken Wyman's out at One Winning Drive right now. We're going to get a practice report from him at 3:15. But anytime you hear any NFL coach say not season ending when it's August 6th yesterday, yeah, you're thinking, okay, well, he's going to miss some games. I mean, this isn't going to be a week one type thing. Well, Cameron Wolf, who works for NFL Network, he tweeted this out early this morning. Arthur Millett will have a scope on his knee later this week per source. Expectation is he misses some regular season time, possibly September, but it's not season ending. Millett has been one of the Ravens' top performers this camp as a slot corner slash blitzer. They will miss him. And you were out there yesterday, but from all the beat guys that we've had on, he has been one of the big standouts for this Ravens defense throughout training camp, coming off a very strong year last year.
Yeah. He has a role that is pretty defined, and he excels at it. And we've documented his blitz rate last year was exceptional. When they sent him, he affected the quarterback at a very, very high percentage. We know certain body types he matches up really well with in the slot. Some of those smaller jitterbug types, guys who, you know, a long levered Kyle Hamilton or even a Marlin, if he slides in the slot more, would struggle with. Smart player, they like him a lot for good reason. And we've been gushing about the depth on the back end. And then what do you know? That no one even really saw this guy get hurt. It's not like it was like a scene. He seemed to have gotten through practice normally earlier in the week, but just wasn't out there yesterday. And yeah, it was jarring when the head coach unsolicited invokes anything season ending, even if it's, well, it's not season ending. Like, he's obviously going to miss some time, and even a scope is usually a 4 to 6 week kind of deal, and you want to be a little careful on the other side of it. The good news is, Bone, right now, it still looks like a really deep unit and one where they could continue to, you know, rep up some of their young DBs in his absence and play the long game. But unfortunately, it seems to me that they tend to lose DBs in bunches.
It's every single year. Every single year. And that's why they always invest so heavily in this secondary, because, I mean, you go back to last year where Marlon Humphrey missed half the season. But let's just assume that Cameron Wolf report. Let's say he's out September, first 4 weeks spends on IR. Who plays in the slot? I mean, is this a situation where it kind of necessitates bumping Marlon Humphrey in, and then you push Nate Wiggins, hey, first-round pick, well, let's see what you got on the
outside. This is what the preseason's for. I mean, I would think Jalen Armour Davis is going to be a guy who would get some matchups in the slot. I would think, you know, Ardarius is somebody who you could play in the slot. We already know what Brandon Stevens can do there, and I don't think Brandon Stevens is going to do a damn thing in any of these preseason games anyway. Like, I don't think Marlon's playing in any of these preseason games. Like, so, I mean, in terms of what we are going to be able to see as consumers of these, of this, you know, preseason product, I think it's an opportunity for those, for some of those young guys to get it, you know, to get a chance to try to lock somebody down in the slot.
John Harbaugh also said yesterday Adafe Owe dealing with a sprained ankle, but kind of surprising news, pleasantly surprising news. Jonas Schaefer saying Adafe Owe and Marlon Humphrey, who left practice early yesterday without a trainer, they are both back on the practice field today.
Yeah, that's obviously good news. Now, Bateman still isn't, though.
He is not, and we'll get to him in a second.
He fell, like, I mean, just, you know, I understand that a lot of people are like, oh, he fell on a ball. It's nothing. But, I mean, if you fell on a ball weird and twisted some muscle up in your abductor area or anything, you know, along your sides, like, that can be tricky.
Speaking of Rashad Bateman, John Harbaugh had this to say about the receiver.
Yeah, not serious. You know, he just kind of, you saw him land down after he made that catch, kind of hit the ground hard. So, nothing long-term.
Bateman not on the practice field, as is Arthur Millett, obviously. Trayvon Mullen, Quincy Roche, Tyler Linderbaum as well. But with it's different, and we got into this yesterday or Monday. Linderbaum is such a different situation for me, because that's a guy that, it's only been 2 years, he hits the post. I mean, he played through a high ankle sprain last year. He's Iowa tough and all of that. Bateman has dealt with injury after injury after injury, where anytime you hear anything like this and he misses time, you know, some alarms go off.
Well, again, I would love to know the number of full practices he and Lamar Jackson have had. Regular season, OTA, training camp. I bet the number would astound you how low it is. Practices that they both started and both finished and were active participants, not just in individuals, but in team drills every session, every 7-on-7, every 1-on-1, every 11-on-11. I bet the number would be astoundingly low, and probably speaks to, in part, why Lamar's passer rating is astoundingly low when he throws to him.
Well, they've just never been on the same page. And Bateman, you go back to his rookie year in 2021, I remember Lamar started camp on COVID, then Bateman went down with an injury, then he had the core muscle surgery, missed the first 6-7 weeks of the season, then Lamar's out the last half of that season. And then same thing, you know, 2022, where Bateman had the foot injury, out for the year. And last year was his most healthy season. I mean, that was probably the bulk of
their. Then there was the offseason where he was sort of around, but yes, Lamar was holding out because they hadn't done a contract with Lamar. And I can't even call it a holdout. He wasn't contractually obligated to be there. He was doing his thing, but not at the facility. So it really has been star-crossed, these two being anywhere close to 100%, even on a Wednesday or on a Tuesday in April, let alone Sundays.
We are your home of instant updates from training camp. And Ken Lyman, if anything happens, he'll call us immediately.
He's all over it.
We're going to talk.
He's so locked in, Bone.
We're going to talk to him at 3:15. What kind of notes you think Ken's taking?
I think it's all.
You think it's all mental?
Oh, it's all upstairs.
Okay, all right.
I mean, he's a different level.
Well,
Bone.
We'll find it.
Steel trap.
We'll find out at 3:15. But coming up next, Northern Exposure. Brandon Ayuk, it seems like a trade somewhere is imminent. Could it be Pittsburgh? And if it is Pittsburgh, how dangerous could that offense be with Brandon Ayuk? And is there a quarterback competition all of a sudden? It's been Russell Wilson all offseason. How many Steelers beat writers have we had on? Beat reporters have we had on, Jason? Oh, it's Russ. It's Russ. It's Russ. Well,
what have I said?
Mike Tomlin had a very interesting comment this morning about the quarterback situation, and we'll hear it next on Inside Access.
Juszczyk left, going deep down the sideline for Ayuk. He's got it, and he's gone. 20, 10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco, Ayuk is on fire.
And I just want to move forward. I want a team to look at me and value me as a top receiver so I can go out there and continue to do what I do and show them every single day the same way that as I've been. That's in fact what I am.
How are we just hearing that touchdown call from 49ers
radio?
What,
Beltway Ben, well done.
Dude. Ayuk is on fire.
Imagine if
also the touchdown.
They'd have won the game.
Dude, the touchdown was like a goal. You know, that was like one of those calls.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it sounded like a soccer call.
Yeah, that was wild. All right, well, Ayuk, 75 catches, over 1,300 yards, 7 tutties last year. And now there were multiple teams bidding for his services. The Patriots, they have stepped away. They were prepared to make
him. He don't want to go there.
They were prepared to make him one of the
They
five.
Stepped away because he wouldn't take their money.
Yes.
Let's just be real. Because you're seeing a lot of people couch this stuff
sure.
in ridiculous ways to, placate their sources.
Yeah, they were prepared to make him one of the five highest paid receivers in football. Now, the Steelers have reengaged in trade talks for the 49ers.
Newsflash, the Steelers were never out, but okay.
There's still the Commanders and the Browns in there as well. But Brandon Ayuk, if Omar Khan, Steelers GM, was able to pull off this trade, what does that mean for the Steelers offense?
I mean... We could quibble whether he should be a $30 million receiver or not, but it's not going to matter to them.
They're not paying
anybody else. So it's like they're not paying the running backs either. Najee Harris, they're making him play it out. Like,
yes.
All their offensive linemen are on cut rate rookie deals. Like, they're not paying anybody. Like, even if they did an extension for Freiermuth, it would be team friendly, buying still somewhat low on him, in part because he's had nobody consistent to throw him the ball. So take the money out of it. He would make them an exponentially better football team. Like him and Pickens together, like that could be a real problem. I also think the second tight end, the big kid from Georgia, I think he's gonna break through and be a bigger part of their offense this year as well. Now, I do wonder if he ends up going the other way. Like that's a guy I think Kyle Shanahan, especially knowing Kittle's toward the end and like you're going to have to give to get, and he's not going to want just draft picks because those draft picks can't help him until the 2025 season. But the Steelers have never been out of this. The Steelers have laid in the weeds. They've been incredibly patient, much like how they got Justin Fields for nothing in the first place. It's one of the places he wants to go. I think the 49ers, like, do they want to send him to a contender? No, but it's still the other conference. You know what I mean? He couldn't really hurt us until a Super Bowl. Like, are the Steelers going to the Super Bowl this year with them?
No.
I will say this, though. Not if, but when this trade's made, no matter what it is, it's going to make the 49ers a worse football team. And I don't know what's going on with Cooper Kupp. If that turns out to be a nothing burger, or not Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, You can get pretty good money on the Rams to win that division. Like, I got it at plus 300 earlier. You can still find it at plus 200, plus 250. I do not think the 49ers are going to be the same team this year. Is the running back going to stay healthy 3 years in a row?
He's already banged.
You know what I mean? Trent Williams is already telling you, like, he knows where his body is. Like, I don't know.
So, if that trade is executed, you have the 1-2 punch of George Pickens, Brandon Ayuk. You have Freiermuth. You have a nice 1-2 punch at running back with Najee and Jaylen Warren. They have invested heavily in their offensive line over the past couple of years. Broderick Jones, first-round pick. They went out, signed Isaac Sumalo. Zach Frazier's a second-round pick. Fontenot, first-round pick at right tackle. But there's still the quarterback situation, and we know that Russell Wilson has been dealing with a calf injury. He is not going to play in Friday's preseason opener. Justin Fields is going to get the start. And Mike Tomlin, is this a quarterback controversy?
Would you still categorize this as a quarterback competition? If it is, how do you weigh what happens on the practice field here versus what happens in a stadium?
Very much is a competition. What happens in stadium is weighted heavier than what happens in a practice setting because it's more game-like.
There you have it. That's Mike Tomlin earlier today. First time on record that he's came out and said this is a quarterback competition.
Somebody's got to be listed atop the depth chart. Don't put any stock. That doesn't matter.
Russ is listed right now.
Somebody's got to be there to start the whole thing, and they'll do that to placate Russ's ego. But make no mistake, this thing has been on since they hired Justin Fields to come in and be a quarterback of some degree to them, whether it turned out to be holding the clipboard or playing every snap. And, like, it's on now. And just, I mean, like, Justin Fields is not garbage. Like, just, there have been Sundays where Justin Fields has been the best football player on the field. Now, it has been three or four Sundays in a row, but he also was with a joke-ass coaching staff in Chicago that I think was actively trying to sabotage him for a period of time with how they ran their offense. And they only just started getting talent around him last season. Like, he's gonna look really good against UPS drivers and Domino's pizza guys. Like, I'm just going to tell you, like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to dazzle, and he's going to start for them week one.
In about 20 minutes, Ken Wyman's going to join us live from One Winning Drive. We'll get the latest on the happenings. Ravens training camp, this is their final practice open to the media prior to their preseason opener Friday against the Eagles. But coming up next, we're going to get back into the Orioles with Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. What did Bordy think of Brandon Hyde's decision to pinch hit for Jackson Holliday and Colton Cowser? Albert Suarez, his fantastic start on short notice. Is he going to slot in Grayson Rodriguez's place and Gregory Soto? We will get Bordy's thoughts on all of that next on Inside Access.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.